So what did you know about, you know, the Camino before you decided to embark?
I first knew about it from more an academic perspective. My sophomore year of university, I took a Spanish Civil War class. And I remember the reading assignments were excellent, and I learned about it in a book, and I made one of my best lifelong friends in that class. She was a fellow student from a Basque immigrant family from Los Angeles. Her parents immigrated in like the late 50s, early 60s to California from the Spanish side of the border in the Basque region. And she talked about it in the class after one of the readings. And in the context of during the Franco era, her parents saw the practice of Catholicism in the Basque language as actually almost like an identity marker, that it was like to be culturally Basque and to be to confront kind of the Franco regime was to also be subversively Catholic. There were like underground radio stations that would do mass in the Basque language because the Basque language was forbidden during the Franco. And whereas on the French side of the border, Basque wasn't forbidden. But it's actually more spoken now in the Spanish side. It's funny how, So I knew about it from her and the reading we had. And then someone gave me, it might have been her or someone else gave me a hardback, I still have it, book. That's funny because when you're that age, you know, it's like hardbacks are more expensive, so I remember that. It was a hardback by a British travel writer.
Yeah.
It was well written about the Camino. So this would have been written in like the, this was in the late 80s. And I can't remember the British writer. I actually have it here in the apartment. And he had drawings in it, and it was almost like his journal. It was lovely. And so that, that was very moving to me. And I remember I really liked the cover. And so, and that friend and I were also, so we were, in, we actually did a group project together in that class. It was an excellent class. So I engaged really well with the material academically. And then on a personal level, I think I found a lifelong friend too, because we had a lot in common. We were both from working class immigrant parents. First generation in college, and we were at a very, in those era, you would have called it a prep university. We were at Stanford, and we were kind of unusual of our classmates. We were kind of the poor whites. There were like a lot of Latino of working class, but we were, and so we stayed in contact, and we were kind of good allies to each other. You know, we worked a lot of jobs. You know, a lot of my classmates weren't working. You know, I cleaned houses. So we had a lot in common. And so when she went to graduate school and she was doing academic research in the Basque country, I went to visit her and her older sister while I went on a trip to Ireland. And then I went to Spain from Ireland, and I visited them in the Basque country. And I went to their parents' villages, went to their aunts and uncles' houses. And that was when I was like, hey, I'm near Galicia. I'm not that far. And, you know, it was kind of just sudden. My decision to, it was kind of sudden, my decision to, like, maybe take action on knowing about this Camino.
So you were, so you just happened to be in the area.
Yes, I actually, so my motivation was to go to the Basque country to see them. And in fact, like, I think I knew her parents, she had met my parents, I knew her siblings, she knew my, it was like we were cousins almost. So it was like, and I felt so at ease in the Basque culture, and visiting like the farmhouses of her aunts and uncles was like being with my aunts and uncles in Ireland on the farm. So it was very, I mean, we had the language barrier because they spoke. I would speak Spanish to them, and they would speak kind of broken Spanish back to me. Mm-hmm. Of the older generation, the younger kids spoke.
Yeah.
And it was my idea. I don't think they had ever done it. I think one of the sisters actually was kind of interested in doing it with me, but she had a job, and she taught English as a second language, and she couldn't get away from there. And I was brave in those days. I had thought nothing of doing like stuff by myself.
Yeah.
I just like, I'll meet people on the way. I'll,
yeah. So it was on this trip that you ended up doing the Camino.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't fly. How did I even get to Spain from? I think I went by boat from Ireland, the south of the Republic. You can get an overnight, it's many hours, ship to Cherbourg, France, in the northern part of France. And then I took the train. And actually, this was kind of somewhat, I was somewhat in pilgrim mode because my confirmation name is Therese of Lisieux, which is a village or a city in France. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she was called St. Therese of the Little Flower.
Yeah.
And I wanted to stop, and I did. I went, I can't remember, this was like in 1994, I think. And I went to, from Paris, I went to Lisieux, mm-hmm. where she's from, visited that village, then got back, went by train, crossed into Spain. So I kind of was on that mode a little.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd be the type that would do that. And you know, along some people, they'll like, we know this city has a good museum. I was the type that, and I still am, that if a place has kind of spiritual meaning to me, I want to stop.
So
that I went there. And then when I went into the Basque Country, I can't remember. I think some other people of her family had mentioned, like, oh, we should do this sometime. We should. And so it kind of... I actually think, Larry, it wasn't until I was in the Basque Country that it came to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do this. It's not that far. And I kind of looked at a map, and although it did look far. From the Basque Country,
yeah.
It did look
right.
Far to me. I was in Donostia, they call it in Basque, mm-hmm. San Sebastian.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you started?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So did you know anything about Santiago or St. James?
No. I'm smiling for the recording. I actually think I knew more than I do now. I've forgotten. I think... Also, I have my oldest brother is named James, and so there was a little. I was interested in that, like it was kind of special. And we would actually call him Diego, kind of joking, because in Latin America they say Diego more than Santiago for James. But you know, and I did a little then, but I don't remember anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember something about him being one of the apostles that like went furthest afield.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my memories. And I do remember when I got to Santiago, I read about him there. But I didn't, until I got to the destination, I think I had pretty elementary, just from like the elementary knowledge, just from like growing up Catholic and like reading. When I was a child, we didn't have a lot of books in the house, but we were big library users.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I had a couple of books of saints for children, and like he was one of the pages.
Yeah.
So I probably had every page memorized because it was something I would read, and
right.
It had like really lavish pictures, and so I definitely remember like the child's version of his story.
So what were the types of like images, I guess you would say, that you recognized, that you would associate with the Camino?
Well, I remember right away, in fact, one of the things I asked you when I met you is, do you remember, do they still do the concha, the shell? So, and until I was there in Spain, I didn't know, and then I was like noticing it everywhere.
Yeah.
Until I was there, I didn't know that was an image associated with the Camino. And so, and the forever, I don't ever see it again.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny, I hadn't thought about it in years, probably a decade, until I met you and your sister. And you told me, I was like, oh my God, it immediately came to mind, the concha. I can't even, it immediately came to me, I don't even say shell, I say concha, you know?
Right.
it's my number. And then symbols, you said, right? Mm-hmm. The other was, I mentioned it to you right away too, the ceremony where I remember the tabernacle, mm-hmm. or something being the swinging of, yeah. The tabernacle, I think we called it.
Right.
I can't remember, in Spanish. And that's forever associated with me for Santiago. And for the Camino, I remember, for some reason, I have a memory of huts. But I don't know if I'm combining this with things I've read about other pilgrimage, but for some reason, when I did it in 94 or something, I think I remember some things on the way that there were some, like, some crude or rudimentary kind of, like, stations or stops, or, like for me to get shelter from the rain or something. I kind of, because it was quite, mm-hmm. rainy, I remember, mm-hmm. when I went. It would have been, it was maybe like, I think it was maybe late July or early August of, yeah. 1994.
Okay.
What else do I associate? Good planning. Mm-hmm. This might be off your question, but one, okay. thing I was so impressed by when I, in my era, was the presence of young people. It was like every Spanish young person,
yeah.
was there, and it was not every Spanish, but the majority seemed to be young men and women, like your age, mm-hmm. group or a little younger,
yeah.
and which was my age group then. And it was like a must-do for them.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, of course we're here.
Yeah.
You know,
seemed to be ingrained in the culture.
Yes, yes. And I didn't have a sense that they would necessarily be going again. But for some reason I had the feeling like it wasn't maybe you do it multiple times, mm-hmm. or something. And I, you know what's interesting? I've never, it seems to me since I did it in 94, like I've heard so much more about it.
Yeah.
It's become, for example, like in my Alumni Association magazine, I'll see, you know, like, you know, tour groups or da-da-da.
Yeah.
And it's never interested me to do it again because it's, it's so special that one time.
Right.
I kind of don't need to, I looked, in fact, when I met you to see if I have photos. I don't think I took photos. I just have it,
okay.
you know, really strong memories.
Yeah.
And I can remember the people I met. And this was pre-email. Like, I still have multiple address. People would write on pieces of paper, oh, if you come through Barcelona, you can stay with us. If you did.
No, you're good. So, you're on this trip. You, mm-hmm. go to Scotland.
Ireland.
You go to Spain, Basque,
uh-huh.
country.
Uh-huh.
So, and then you set out on the Camino,
uh-huh.
right? What are your expectations day one? What do you remember of,
yeah.
the road ahead?
Yeah, I remember weather was the thing, because I didn't, mm-hmm. know if I was going to make it kind of, I think there was, Larry, a holy day. There was something special that somebody, I think people had told me in the Basque country, oh, this is the perfect week to go, Margaret.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. And it was because it was hitting up against a day, it might have been like the Feast of St. James.
Last week.
Exactly. So it was late July. And I remember, and so I knew time-wise, I'm like on Sunday, and this is next Sunday or something. And I remember like, oh, shoot, it's pouring. And so, you know, stuff like that. Like I was more, I got to see if I can reach the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get distracted, like I was, the Tour de France was going on, and like, mm-hmm. I'd linger too long at one bar or one grocery store,
right.
to watch, like, you know, an hour, and on the telly, and so I remembered that on the first day.
So how far out, do you know how far out you were? Do you know how far you actually walked?
I sometimes did buses.
Yeah.
Because I remember staying in Oviedo, Asturias,
okay.
which I think it goes like Basque Country. Well, shoot, we should have a map in front of us. There was Basque Country. I remember the adjacent provinces that I went through were, and I can't remember from east to west, but Asturias, Cantabria, and Galicia. And I remember Cantabria was my strongest memories. I really liked that part. That was where I was more... there were beaches, and there were... Asturias was a little more industrial. I kind of, to get from point A to point B sometimes, I did take bus. And I remember staying in a hostel, a youth hostel in Oviedo, and feeling like, this doesn't really feel like the Camino. Yeah, I was in kind of an industrial city and kind of wanted to get back out into the rural area. But I didn't have a lot of time, so I had to, like, I remember that part. I had to do the gain time. So I took a bus from somewhere to Oviedo, kind of, and then Oviedo, another bus to get into Cantabria. And then from there, did walking and hitchhiking.
Okay. We did the same thing. We took a bus for the from France to the last like 130 kilometers.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we walked the rest, and that was pretty fun. So.
Yeah.
So the next two, just your best day on the Camino, and your worst day.
I'm gonna cry. It's amazing. You know, I remember the moment arriving in the. This is so long ago. This is over 20 years ago. I remember arriving in the plaza, the central plaza at Santiago, and just, oh, the masses of people. And people were so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped. I was fluent in Spanish. And I saw some people that I'd seen on the Camino. There was this family. I can still remember them. The kids must be, they must be in their 30s now or something. And they were two little kids and their parents, and they'd see me on the way, and they're like, oh, we have space in our tent tonight. Mm-hmm. Because they said, did you find a place to stay tonight? Because it was already like, 3 p.m. And there were masses of people in the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a light show in the evening. It was so cool. And it was just, wonderful feeling. It was kind of like my only experience of a concert at that point was pretty good quality of concert. Like I'd seen U2. Twice already at that point. That was my only massive concerts of the 1980s. You know? And it was like being at something like that. It was such a great feeling. And I remember just, I can remember like immediately doing the sign of the cross. I just really felt, like as if I was in an outdoor mass or something. There probably was an outdoor mass too. Because we couldn't all fit in the church, in fact, I think I had to get in the church and just like you were just moving in a line like hello goodbye because there were just masses of people and I remember, so that was the best day. Didn't end well in the evening though, because I had to find a place to stay. And I felt I still am like that. Like when people are generous and offer you stuff, I still feel like, oh, no, I'll burden them.
Mm-hmm.
So a few people had done like that and said, we have space at our campground, or da da da. And I didn't have much stuff, so I kind of felt, and it was raining, and I thought, I'm going to get really wet. And so I was looking around at a lot of different places, and even people, but I also felt a little vulnerable. I was scared that something could happen to me. Like some people said, you can stay in our hotel room, and so that camping, I felt more that would be safer, but staying with people in a hotel room that I didn't know. And so I was a little more dangerous. And so I finally found a place by myself, and that was where I got bed bugs that night. It was just horrible. And so I stayed up most of the night itching, so that was, and I remember I checked out there, and as a result, I didn't stay longer in Santiago. Like I only had, because it was so massively packed, and I knew it was not hygienic to stay there another night. So I was only there in Santiago, my destination, for probably, I'm going to make this up, but maybe 18 hours or something. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And you got bed bugs.
You got bed bugs.
Yeah. So it was probably the, to answer you, it was the best day. And then the worst night. No, but the worst night, just like upon entering the hotel room and leaving the hotel room.
Right.
And I remember it was super loud. You know what I mean? So like, it was so noisy. So I wasn't going to sleep anyway.
Did they have like the, did you arrive on the feast day?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were lots of cohete fireworks probably going off and dogs barking and
I remember that night. We were, I actually stayed in that night. There was a big concert going on, or three, and they had fireworks going to like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And we had to keep the window open because there's no AC.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
It was bad, but it was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I got to see fireworks from my bed out the window.
Okay. You know what else I remember? I remember the bread, the pan gallego. I remember liking the bread in Galicia. It was kind of that's also kind of a symbol I remember. I remember that they would give me sometimes stuff. If you were wearing the concha, I think I got like some bread and stuff from people.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you go into a bakery in town or on the way, and people would give me, I think.
Do you remember pilgrim cake?
No, I don't.
It's like also called Santiago cake.
It's got like the...
Isn't there something in it?
The powder
on
it, and it makes a cross out of the... I didn't like it.
Okay. Yeah,
other people love it.
Like a sweet roll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
I remember loving fish there, too. Once I left, on the outskirts, I told you the night before I stayed in a port city.
Yeah.
I can't remember it, but I remember walking on the pier or something, and I ate some fish. It was really good. And I met people there that I ran into the next day or something. You know? Yeah. We were all... But there's one family really left a mark on me. I can remember them visually, and they were teachers, the husband and wife, and the kids were like 10 years old. And I remember they were so kind, and they said, you know. And in fact, I did ring their number when I got to Barcelona or something, but they weren't back from their summer vacation.
That's where they were from, was Barcelona.
Yeah, they were from. Yeah. And I don't know what route, but they were camping. And,
really?
You know,
so they really roughed it.
Yeah, I can't remember if they. I can't remember their sequence of how they did stuff.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever meet them again.
Right. No, it's
pretty
cool,
I can't
though.
Remember a lot of other people, but I remember them, and I remember the people, I remember some, it was very, people were kind of, I think, more generous and kind than other backpacking trips or stuff I've been on.
Did you find that more towards Santiago?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the people in the Basque Country were very encouraging. Everyone was like, in fact, this is ringing a bell now. Because it was getting close to the feast day, people would even bring it up to me in San Sebastian, where I started, saying, oh, are you... I think they kind of assumed that I was there for that.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and that kind of planted it in my head, too. Like, yeah, I'm here. I'm not that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at that time, as a young person from the U.S., I hadn't heard, other than, like I said, from that academic class and my Basque friend, it wouldn't have been something that people would ask me, oh, you're going to northern Spain. Oh, are you doing the Camino?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas once I was in the Basque Country, people definitely thought that's why I was there. And it was kind of rare. I remember because I was by myself. When I would go into a place like we're outside a bakery, people were so surprised when I would say where I was from.
Really?
They hadn't met many Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Did you find a lot of people spoke English that lived there?
Uh-uh.
No.
Huh. Am I speaking clearly?
No, you're fine.
No.
That's interesting. A lot of the shopkeepers or the people that worked in restaurants, at least one person there spoke English.
Yeah.
You know, they...
This is 23 years ago.
Was it maybe too because you spoke Spanish at the time?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I would commence in Spanish. I also have a very good day to remember.
Yeah.
It was my first time. So in Cantabria, a beautiful beach. And again, it was quite rainy.
Mm-hmm.
I have great memories of the Tour de France thing because Indurain, as I told you, Miguel Indurain was the champion bike rider, and he was from the Basque Country, so people were really following the Tour de France, on the. So I was at some little cafe or grocery store, watched some of the Tour de France on the TV, and people also, I noticed like some foreigners like me walking down a path. They might have been Brits or something. And it turns out they were going to a beach. And it was like one of the best kept secrets. It was like a lovely beach in Cantabria that's known. And it has different inlets. And turns out people sunbathe there nude and they swim nude. And that was just so strange, unusual to me. Although in the coast of Northern California where I'm from, there are a couple beaches like that, but they're quite isolated. Right. And I would never go out of my way to go there. So I remember I go, and I think in fact I didn't have a swimsuit with me. And because it was rainy and I hadn't thought to pack one. So I remember I was like, geez, people are going in the water. And I found it was this really extensive beach with a lot of, and I found I was so shy. I found like this one area where there were no other people. And then I like went and I went swimming. And I think it was the first time maybe since I was a baby, you know. Maybe my parents took me in the water when I was a baby naked. But it was the first time I remember, you know, swimming naked in the ocean. Yeah.
So how far is that into the water?
That might have been that would have been midway. So I was probably maybe just 3 days away. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was nice. And I also remember things like, you know, really wanting to clean myself. So it was actually kind of nice.
Yeah. How tough was that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember being really disappointed with the bed bug situation, too, because I had wanted to wash clothes there, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, that might have been another reason that I got out of Santiago the next day, because I needed to get somewhere and do, you know, hand wash and dry my stuff.
Yeah. I can recall washing clothes while I'm in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
With my body soap.
Good. Men are probably better at that. I needed a sink and suds. And
yeah.
A clothesline. But, and I remember the dialect. I remember going into places where they spoke Gallego. And I had studied Portuguese as well a couple years before that. So I knew Portuguese. And I grew up, my next door neighbor when I grew up was from Portugal. She was from the Azores Islands. And she spoke to me in Portuguese as a little girl. So when I would hear Gallego when I first got to Galicia, it sounded to me more Portuguese. And to me, it still does today. Like when I hear, I don't hear it except on that trip.
Yeah.
Sorry. What am I talking about? It sounded, for me, it was more affinity to Portugal than to... And so I liked that. And I remember I crossed the border then into Portugal. I hitchhiked in my search for a quieter place.
So you leave Santiago. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? What do you do after that?
I hitchhiked to get across the border to Portugal, and I continue my pilgrimage, because guess where I went next? Dina would probably guess. What would you guess? What's in Portugal? Fatima. It's Our Lady of Fatima, and it's another big pilgrimage site.
Okay.
And so I was going to head to Lisbon. And I'm like, this is on the way. And that was an exciting day. I still remember that was one of the most... That's probably the most beautiful church. I hear it's been... a lot of stuff's been redesigned.
Yeah.
So I was there in 1994. And I got there like right before they were closing. It was like getting to Disneyland like a half hour before it closes.
Right.
And I'm like... I was like a woman on a mission. I remember like they said something to me in the entrance. And I just acted like I didn't understand Portuguese. And I did. And I'm like... And I just... Like, the people are leaving to get on their buses, and there were a lot of disabled people, a lot of people. Unlike, I don't remember that as much in Santiago.
Yeah.
You know, I remember more able-bodied people and a lot of young people. So from Santiago, I must have kept walking. I walked way out of town heading towards whatever would be the next town heading south. And I remember I walked and walked and walked because I was trying to figure out what to do next. I didn't have a plan, really. I knew I was going to go to Lisbon, and I walked and walked and walked, maybe like a couple hours to me it felt. And then I was getting pretty on the outskirts, and I didn't see really... I remember asking for, no buses were passing, and so I felt a little safer. I was in like a smaller town, and I decided to hitchhike. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was a Portuguese driver picked me up, and luckily I spoke Portuguese, so that was good. And I said, just, you know, if you can get me across the border, and mm-hmm. and I must have stayed a night. Maybe not. Maybe I got another connect, because my memory is that Fatima was somewhat in the north of Portugal, mm-hmm. and I got there. I remember, let's say at 4:30, and it closes at 5:30 or something, and I never went back. Like, it was the type of thing too. I think for some reason, maybe I knew the amount of days I had left that I had to get back to Barcelona or something. I knew, like, no, I had to get to Lisbon the next day. So it wasn't like I was going to stay overnight there and go back in in the morning. So that was very special. I went to Fatima. So I think the city might be Fatima as well. I'm not sure. And Fatima. And the Blessed Mother, it's a pilgrimage site. And there's from in the early 1900s, there were two or three young girls that she appeared to. I remember this stuff from my childhood. Yeah. I read this too. One girl was Bernadette, I remember. And and because of my neighbor that I grew up with, we always would take her to Mass. And so I was kind of, she was like a grandmother to me. So mm-hmm. it was very moving to go there. And because I think my neighbor Rosa, she had like a statue of her in her house.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful church. And I remember there was a really long, kind of like you'd see like a Hollywood red carpet. There was a really long, thin rug that pilgrims were kneeling on. So I was there. There weren't many people there left. And a lot of people were also in like wheelchairs and crutches because there's some... there's a site also in France I've never been to called Lourdes that people go to, Our Lady of Lourdes, where there's the belief of prayers for miracles and for healing. And I think people go to Fatima in Portugal for similar hopes of healing. So I was one. I remember I was like, I felt slightly embarrassed because I was like moving with quite a pace because I knew they were closing. I'm passing all these people that are, you know, really struggling to like move up towards the chapel. It was a huge church. It might have been called a cathedral. And it was so beautiful. And I do have a photo from that day. I asked someone to take a photo of me, and there's not many people around, and I'm standing there, and there's the church behind me. It was a lovely day. And so that was kind of a contrast with Santiago, because Santiago was just masses of people, you know, light show and lots going on.
Did it feel more like did you feel more like a tourist in Santiago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And more kind of like conversation and interacting with people and like hugging people. I remember people were like hugging each other and like, oh, like people I didn't know and like, oh, people were super friendly to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great... It was like being at a festival almost or something. Yeah, it was a really... Whereas Fatima, I can remember more of the church than I can Santiago. Yeah. In Santiago, what I remember most of the church is the urn or the tabernacle swinging and the custodians of it doing this rhythmic movement of it. And I think it had incense.
Yeah, it was an incense burner.
Okay.
In there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get to see that.
Okay.
The day we went to Mass, there was like 15 different Masses.
Okay.
And the first one, the King of Spain was actually in attendance.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we were in the square the same time he was, but we didn't get to see
him. Oh, I bet there was a lot of security.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole square was, you couldn't bring like a bag in.
See, this was so, I remember that too, that freedom of no security then. Like I had my backpack with me at all times.
Yeah.
You're just traipsing around and
so that was our feast day. The day we got there, it was the eve of the feast day.
Okay. That I maybe got there the feast day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I think the party was bigger on the eve.
Okay.
Because the next day everything was closed.
Well, maybe then I was the eve, because it was the evening had the fire. Or do you think they have the fireworks and stuff on the day as well?
The fireworks happen on the the eve. Essentially the eve, like the night of the eve, right whenever it crosses into the actual day.
Yeah.
That's like the big party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think I was there because stuff, gross places were still open. But I do remember the next, that's true, the next day when I told you I kept walking and getting out of town. It was, maybe that was part of why I just kept walking, because stuff was closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there weren't a lot of people to ask. Like, more the local people were.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember asking somebody where I could get something to eat or something. And I really wanted, like, a, I was, like, at a hankering for, because I heard about the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted, like, a, there was a certain stew or soup that people talked about. It was almost like clams or something.
Is it?
Does this ring a bell?
It was a soup?
Yeah. Was something I was really hungering for. Like people said, oh, you have to try while you're in this area. And I remember I was on a mission to try. So many places were closed. And finally, I found something on my walk. And I remember that was nice. I remember, I think I, yeah. And that, it was, I think there were shellfish was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the big thing, I don't know, the big thing for me when I was there was paella.
It might have been
a
version of paella. I don't remember it being very spicy, though. It was kind of not... I like spicy. It wasn't very spicy.
Yeah. So, you mentioned the family that you met and the hospitality they tried to really show you. As much as you can with a tent, you know.
I know. Can you imagine? Yeah, to offer, you know, their family of four, and they said I could sleep in their tent. Incredible. Yeah. And, like, to not know me from Adam.
Yeah.
People were like that, you know?
Yeah, I think we had that same experience, too.
And even today, in current times, that's
true.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Yeah. I do, one thing, and it has been a pattern in my life, but I do wish that I've maybe had accompaniment. So it's nice that you had, because I chose to do it quite solitary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but on the other hand, it made me like a, you know, I maybe wouldn't have had these interactions with that family or you know, because they people intuit things when you're by yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, even that day on the beach when I was just in the water, you know, a short time, and then, like, you know, I was bashful and I got dressed right away, you know. But that would have been fun to be swimming with other people, or, you know. Or, but I often do stuff like that by myself because, you know, I decided that on spur of the moment in the Basque Country to. I did ask my friend's sister to go, you know, and I think some other people weren't available. Everyone. And people were that time in the 90s. It wasn't really wealthy in Spain, you know.
Yeah.
I know. And again, now there's high unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I remember all her family were working, and they didn't really like go on long trips like some people do now. Like a lot of her cousins had never been to other countries or.
Yeah.
You know,
So my final question for you is, what did you take from the trip? Like, what did you bring back with you that's still with you today?
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I don't really share it much until I met you guys recently, but it is kind of a badge of accomplishment. I do feel, I had never heard that term in that era. It came out later, that term, the bucket list.
Yeah.
But that probably was my own accomplishment of, like, things that I wanted, that I was, like, so... It gave me great... I felt very empowered and kind of... I was very happy I did it. And whenever I will... And whenever I read, there's been so much... There's so much more literature that's out about it. And, like, I would read photograph essays or different things or... Or anytime I see news articles about it or something, I immediately have this sense of, oh yeah, been there, done that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was and nothing bad happened. That was great.
That's
you know,
always a good thing.
But I do remember it's so funny. I think it's the only time in my life I got bed bugs, but you know, so I remember. I have a bit of a feeling of like innocence about it. So it's nice to meet you guys to know that like people still nothing bad happens.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are some stories, but I remember people even like leaving their bags in the main plaza of the church and like, oh, can you watch that? And going off, and then like you come back and you can talk with that group of people. And yeah, just kind of an innocent time. And so that's what I take with me.
That main sense of accomplishment.
Accomplishment, yeah. And at the time, I thought it was a part of the world I would maybe never see again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I... and in fact, I haven't been back, I don't think, to Northern Sweden. Yeah, I don't know if I ever will. Yeah.